this morning,
our text, our sermon text, has something to do, in a way, about being blocks and little cars, sort of. It tells us something about what God wants us to be and how God wants us to understand our lives. It says something to us about what Jesus Christ has done for us and what God wants to do in us. Christina reads the passages this morning.
Today's first scripture reading comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and can be found on page 1193 of your pew Bible. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Today's second scripture reading comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, and can be found on page 1163 of your pew Bible. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
So, this morning we began to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let me very, very quickly tell you a little bit about the book of Hebrews. I mean, really quickly. First of all, we do not know who wrote this book. It's not quite a letter. It doesn't sound like a letter until the very end. I think it's basically an essay. We don't know who wrote it. Historically, people have thought it's written by the Apostle Paul, but most people don't think that today. So we don't know who wrote it. Second, it's written to and for the most part Jewish Christians, primarily because much of the book is about references to the Old Testament and how Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecies and the roles specified in the Old Testament. Its major point is, among other things, but its major point is that Jesus Christ is the ultimate and final and complete final sacrifice and high priest. That's the big idea in the book of Hebrews. That's all I'm going to say about Hebrews generally. In terms of the passage we're going to look at this morning, we need to first look at what went right before it, because what we're going to look at this morning is set up by this statement that we are to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We are to run with perseverance. Let me say something about that. Let me say something about perseverance. This is not the only time in the New Testament that we are called upon to live as followers of Jesus Christ with perseverance. Whenever that word is used, and especially when it's used here, it conveys all manner of ideas to us. It tells us all manner of stuff about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. It tells us, for example, that it involves hard work. We have to stick to it. We have to do it over and over again. We have to face it as a challenge and a privilege each and every day. If we are to be what God wants us to be, then we have to understand that it is God's expectation that we will persevere, that we will work at this thing of following Jesus Christ, that we will be thankful for it, and each day we will see it as a privilege to be a follower of Christ, and we will rejoice in that, but we will also understand that it's work. Before I retired at Shoreline Covenant, the year before I retired, I had my last confirmation class, and as was a custom, confirmation Sunday was a big deal. And during the course of study, the students would need to memorize what I call the recitation. It was 23 weeks of memorization. And on Confirmation Sunday, they would recite it together, broken up into parts. Before they would do that, I would preach to them. It took me many years to realize this, but eventually I did. For the most part, they didn't hear a word I said. They were so focused and nervous about the recitation. So the last Confirmation Sunday, I finally learned my lesson, and that truth that they don't really hear me dawned on me. So I said to them basically this one thing. Had three parts to it. Wasn't a three-part sermon. All I said to them was, listen, I hope you take what you learned at confirmation, the recitation and all the truths in it, and I hope you remember some of it and that it makes a difference to you in some way. But this morning, I want you to learn something else from confirmation. Not only the content, but this truth. That following Jesus Christ is a lot like making it through confirmation. You need to show up. You need to do the work. You need to pay attention. Following Jesus Christ is much the same thing. Show up, pay attention, do the work. That's another way of saying persevere. Does it mean that following Jesus Christ is just like just that? It's just that sort of showing up, pay attention, do the work? Isn't it also about being blessed and finding joy in following Jesus? Yes! But it's also about show up, pay attention, do the work. Persevere. It is God's expectation that we will persevere, that we will show up, pay attention, do the work. It's hard work. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, much the same thing is said. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we will not drift away. So how do we do that? How do we persevere? And that's where the text for this morning comes in. Let us run with perseverance a race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. The word, the phrase fixing our eyes literally means to focus, to view with undivided attention by looking away from every other object. I am calling you this morning to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Literally, that means, as I just read, focusing on Jesus Christ and looking away from everything else. I have a theory about that. Actually, I have two theories. Theory number one is, that sounds really hard to do. Theory number two is, I'm not sure we can do that. But we are not to forget what that's saying to us. We ought not to sort of discount that and say, well, you know, I can't do that. The history of the church is full of people who dedicated their lives, moved into monasteries, and sought to focus only on God, and that didn't work. They couldn't do that. What about me? I have to go to work every day. I have to go to school. I have kids to take care of. I have this and that. How can I focus on Jesus and not all these other things? Fix our eyes on Jesus. I have some suggestions for you. First of all, I think each of us has to remember, has to find ways to remember each and every day in one way or another, be it major spiritual activity or simple little things. We have to find some way of bringing to mind who we are in Jesus Christ. Wednesday night at the Ash Wednesday service, we had a time of confession. And in that prayer of confession, there was a phrase that said, "Forgive us for living our lives as if you did not exist." As a general rule, I would offer you that. You want to fix your eyes on Jesus, then be careful of living your lives as if Jesus Christ, God Almighty, Holy Spirit, did not exist. Beware of living your lives as theologically correct, but practically atheist. Living your lives as if God did not exist. How do we avoid that? As I said, find some way to bring God into your life on a regular basis, daily basis, hourly basis, however it might be. Here's some suggestions. I think when you're driving, if you're listening to the radio, if you're at work, I think you should, I would suggest to you that you think every now and then, what would Jesus think of that? You hear something on the radio, you see something on TV, someone says something to you, you're doing something at work, you're in class, you just think to yourself, and you ask yourself, what would Jesus think of that? That you make it a refrain in your life to use the phrase, thank you, Jesus. That you ask yourself periodically, have I said that today? At the end of the day, at the beginning of the day, whatever it might be, in addition to meals, thank you, Jesus. And that way, help yourself fix your eyes on Jesus. At Highlands Winter Retreat, it was my privilege to be the speaker, and the topic was worship. And one of the subtopics in that was the physical qualities of worship. And I talked about, you know, raising hands, clapping, standing, kneeling, all that sort of thing. But I had one other thing. And I said, you know, you might want to think about this. I grew up Roman Catholic. And you know, it's sort of in the interim time when Judy and I were sort of wandering in the desert after leaving Shoreline and before coming here. We went to St. James Catholic Cathedral downtown to worship. And one of the things they would do then, I was reminded of it, is that they would do the sign of the cross. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. I'm not saying we should do that here. But as a personal gesture, that would be one way, another way, to focus, to fix our eyes on Jesus. To begin the day, in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. When you sit down at your computer, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Not as when you go to work, when you're waiting in line to get on the freeway. And then, not as a good luck charm, okay? You see, major league batters or batters in baseball do that, do the sign of the cross as they're going to bat. And they, well, you know, okay, good, fine. But more, as a reminder, this is who I am. This is who Jesus is. This helps me focus on Jesus at this moment, in this hour, in this day. Find a way to remember Jesus. Find a way to pause. And make it your intention to not live as if God did not exist, but to welcome into your life and to recognize it, his companionship, his presence, his reality. During the season of Lent, perhaps you can find some special way, special because you haven't done it before, some way to fix your eyes on Jesus, some small way, every day. Let's pray. Father,